Back in August, two former players filed lawsuits claiming that the NFL was discriminating against black players when it comes to concussion-related claims.
First off, the concussion settlement is something that is overseen by a federal court. The federal court approves the settlement. And we are not part of selecting the medical experts who are making the decisions on a day-to-day basis. That's done by independent clinicians. And so, you know, obviously we'll work with the court. We'll continue to see if there are changes that need to be made, but those will be determined by the court.
That is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell in the lead up to the Super Bowl, being asked about the league's court settlement with former players around concussions and whether the claims process discriminates on the basis of race. Today, Ryan Smith takes us through investigative reporting from ESPN and our colleagues at ABC News about the lawsuit at the heart of this story, a lawsuit which alleges that two former NFL players were denied benefits due to the color of their skin. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, February 15th. This is ESPN Daily. Ryan, thank you so much for joining me today. So you've been reporting on an explosive lawsuit two former NFL players have levied against the league, and they did this last summer. The players both filed claims to access funds to the NFL's concussion settlement, and the way those claims were handled, they allege that it shows discrimination against black players in specific. So remind us of the basics of the NFL's concussion settlement. What does it cover and who can access it?
Yeah, so Pablo, the concussion settlement essentially is for retired players and their families. The original settlement number was around $765 million. And it's for people or players who have claimed that they suffered head injuries while playing the game. So it's the result of some contentious litigation from about 10 or so years ago when the NFL and former players were trying to sort out how to handle payments to these players. It really applies to people who had, let's say, CTE before 2015, or at least they claim they do or have some claim for that, or some degree of neurological impairment. You apply, there's testing done, and if, in fact, you fall below a certain level of cognitive impairment, you can be eligible for a benefit, some compensation.
So I want to talk to you about the two players who applied to get compensation, starting with Najee Davenport. Tell me about his time in the NFL.
Yeah, Najee Davenport was a punishing running back for the Green Bay Packers.
Davenport breaking off right tackle, touchdown!
Spent some time with the Steelers, played for about seven seasons, had 19 touchdowns, including the playoffs.
Ben is looking for Hines, nothing there, scrambles out of the pocket, throws it on the run, Najee has it, and he's got it for the touchdown!
He was a guy who was known as a workhorse running back, retired in his 20s, and after he retired, and even really before he retired, he had some issues with an assault charge.
I was getting in trouble or getting in fights or getting in confrontations. I got arrested for assault battery.
Ultimately, he was acquitted of it, but after his retirement, he really started struggling.
It all came back down to like memory stuff, or they'll say that they say, tell me something, and I'm going back and forth like you didn't tell me. And it was just something just kind of like snap, and it was just, I couldn't control it.
And the other plaintiff is Kevin Henry. How would you describe his career?
So Kevin Henry was a defensive end. He spent most of his time with the Steelers, played for about eight seasons, and had 14 career sacks.
Pass play here. Blake has some time. He'll take the sack. Kevin Henry.
Played in Super Bowl 30. So he had a very sort of solid career in the NFL. But both he and Najee Davenport said that they had somewhere around 10 concussions that they knew of. So it was a real struggle. When I talked to Kevin Henry, he talked about the litany of injuries that he had while he played in the NFL.
I was never healthy my whole career. I was dealing with something. Both ankles, both knees, both elbows, both wrists, all my fingers have been broken at least once. Hyperextended elbow, turf toe, I had that on both feet. Man, the list goes on and on.
And it just showed you that to play 8 seasons in the NFL, it takes its toll on your body and your mind.
I'm so curious what their lives kind of look like right now, Ryan. According to them, how does the physical toll of their time in the league, how does that show up in just sort of the everyday pedestrian stuff of life?
Yeah, it's such a good question, because when you talk about Kevin Henry, if you look at his day, it begins with him in bed and his wife is like massaging him.
My wife usually wakes me up. She'll massage me for about an hour. I'm like loopy sometimes when I wake up. So sometimes I stumble or I may even fall.
He deals with memory loss. He deals with headaches. He told me that sometimes he goes days where he doesn't want to leave a room.
I get a lot of headaches. Every morning I have a headache. I just deal with it, man. I go in my quiet space and I sit there for hours. And there's been times where I won't come out for 3 days.
He can barely function with the stuff that you and I take for granted. Remembering certain details, whether the oven is off, where the keys are. That's something he struggles with routinely. And Pablo, one of the after effects of this that I don't think people think a lot about is when that happens to your spouse, a former player, the other person in many ways, like if you talk about Kevin Henry, they're forced to quit their jobs to take care of him and the family.
It's sad to actually go through this life with him. You know, I take care of everything. I take care of finances. I take care of food. I take care of everything in the house, and I don't mind.
When you talk about Najee Davenport, he talked about how he used to be a very nice sort of gentle guy, but he was prone to moodiness. He said he would get into fights. He would sort of have a hair trigger temper, and it was something he didn't have before he started playing in the NFL, at least according to him, and started suffering head injuries.
So both of these guys, they're struggling with these health issues that they relate directly back to playing football, and they're reckoning with that every day. And the NFL's concussion settlement, I mean, this is sort of theoretically what it's made for. So in 2017, Kevin Henry files a claim. What does that involve and who does he go to?
So Kevin Henry goes to a neuropsychologist. This is essentially how it works. When you feel that you've suffered a head injury as a result of playing the game and you want compensation, the first step is you have to see a league-approved doctor for cognitive testing. And they put in these tests that you do. They test your language, your learning, your memory, to get a sense of where your cognitive abilities are. So that's what Kevin Henry does. He goes into that neuropsychologist, and it's up to that neuropsychologist to determine whether or not he has a lower level of cognitive functioning that would require him to recommend to a claims administrator that he be eligible for compensation.
And how intensive, Ryan, is this testing? How exhaustive is it? How long does it take?
Oh, it's really interesting, Pablo. When I talked to Kevin, he said it takes hours. You spend all day there, according to him.
It was very frustrating. The repeated questions that were asked, one of them was, I think, like 5 hours. One portion of it was 5 hours. It was just a lot of invasive questions.
And the key is, with the program, you have to complete the testing. So if it's going to take 5 or 6 hours, then you got to take the 5 or 6 hours it takes to complete the testing.
So all this testing, this exhaustive testing happens. And then what happens to Kevin Henry's claim?
So based on the test results, they find that Henry met the criteria for compensation because he showed severe impairment in areas like language and learning and memory and executive functioning. The doctor also finding that he had a form of mild dementia. So the neuropsychologist sends that to a claims administrator. Now, keep in mind, the claims administrator, not the NFL, is the person that decides whether there's compensation. The claims administrator finds that Kevin Henry should not get compensation. And here's the reason. He says that there's some questions of validity in his testing, but he also makes the point that Kevin Henry's doctor didn't apply appropriate norms. And those norms are what's at the heart of this entire situation.
So those norms, what do they entail?
Well, they're called demographic norms. And what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to give doctors a sort of baseline of the person they're looking at. So you're saying, this is what the player should be. How far below that has their cognition felt? And does that require the payment of compensation? So When you talk about this demographic correction, it includes things like age, gender, education, but it also includes race. And that's at the heart of this matter, because what they're essentially saying with these norms is that on this baseline, that normal level of cognitive functioning, if you fall below that norm, you're eligible for compensation. But the way it is in this program, the norm for Black players is lower than the norm for white players. That makes it harder for Black players to qualify. And that's at the heart of this issue.
So in 2019, Ryan, it also sounds like Najee Davenport goes through a sort of parallel situation. What does his doctor find when he's evaluated and when he makes a claim of his own?
Yeah, Najee Davenport's situation is very interesting. He is examined by a doctor named Dr. Charles Golden. He's a Florida-based neuropsychologist. And he finds that Davenport's cognitively impaired. But here's the thing. He takes a look at these norms. And he says, a norm that involves race, I'm not going to apply that. And he essentially sent his information to the claims administrator saying, hey, you know, this is a guy who has cognitive impairment. He deserves compensation. Davenport wins his case. But this is where it gets very interesting. The NFL appeals his case, in part believing that the appropriate norms weren't applied.
Mm.
And the result of this is that Davenport's claim is denied.
They said, why didn't you use the Black norms? And I wrote back, basically, I didn't use the Black norms because I thought it was unfair to apply one set of norms to one of the player groups and another set of norms to another group of players. And I think I used the word racist.
So I just want to be super clear then, Ryan.
Sure.
The end result here is that Black players have to show more impairment than a white player to get any of the compensation that they might be entitled to.
Yes. Based on what we're seeing in this lawsuit. And that hits on a couple different levels, especially when I talk to these players. The first level is, wow, before I even get on the field, you assume I have a lower level of cognition than a white player. That in and of itself, to them, feels like discrimination.
I just want to be looked at the same way as a white guy. We bust chops together, bruh. It wasn't no white or Black thing. We lost together, we won together. Now all of a sudden, we're different.
Coming up, I want to talk with you about why Najee Davenport and Kevin Henry's claims were denied, and the NFL's response to their lawsuit.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So Ryan, both of the claims that Najee Davenport and Kevin Henry submitted to the NFL related to those cognitive issues, they were denied and they weren't granted any financial compensation. So why did this happen and how does this become the basis of this lawsuit?
So the reason this becomes a basis for the lawsuit is these players are looking around and they're saying, well, why was our claim denied? I mean, the neuropsychologist we looked at clearly thought we were impaired. Something's going on here. So they file suit. They get a lawyer, and as the lawyer starts looking at some of these cases, they start finding that this formula is here and this is part of the basis. So they feel that this is discrimination, that you cannot have things out there that treat white players differently from Black players.
What the NFL is doing to us right now, when they use a different scale for African-Americans versus any other race, that's literally the definition of systematic racism.
So what they're seeking here is not only compensation, but they're also seeking to make the actual race norming in this illegal, cutting it out of the settlement so that not only in their cases, but players in the future are not judged based on that race norming formula.
So race norming as this concept, Ryan, is fascinating to me in particular because I know it gets applied in like other areas of medical practice or research. And the idea is to level the playing field. It's to prevent, in theory, the overdiagnosis of cognitive impairment in minority communities, which in normal life makes sense. But this lawsuit, Ryan, is saying that the opposite is happening.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's also one of the things that the NFL has said in response to this. And I'm paraphrasing here, that race norming is not meant to discriminate, but it's meant to prevent discrimination. If you're using this as a diagnostic tool, you're saying, I want to get to understand my patient better. So I'm looking at his age, his education, where he's from, and I'm using that to give me a picture of what this might look like. But the effect of it here is what is disturbing.
So Ryan, you had mentioned these emails that you and our colleagues at ABC had uncovered in the reporting process here. What else did you find?
Yeah, this is fascinating because one of the doctors we spoke to, Dr. Charles Golden, gave us the sense that this applying of the race norming formula was required.
Well, you know, part of this is probably because, again, I was one of the early people that they hired. But when I asked them that question, they said, it's up to you. It's your clinical judgment. I'm not sure they would answer it that way today.
And we started looking into this, and we uncovered an email listserv between clinicians. Mm. These are neuropsychologists who evaluate these players. You can look at them, Pablo, as the gatekeepers to compensation in many ways. These are the people who are doing the analysis and sending it to the claims administrator, who ultimately makes the decision of who, what players get paid and what players don't. And these clinicians said some incredible things. One said, and I'm going to quote here to make sure I have it right, bottom line is that the norms do discriminate against Black players. Another one said, I'm realizing and feeling regretful for my culpability in this inadvertent systemic racism issue. And as a group, we could have been better advocates. There, Pablo, you see the mention of systemic racism, what we've all been talking about in this country for the last year. And these doctors are saying, hey, we were inadvertently involved in this by imposing these norms. But I find another one here fascinating. This is another email from what appears to be these clinicians going back and forth. I don't think we have the freedom to choose. And then this clinician concludes by saying, if we do, apparently many of us have been doing it wrong. That is remarkable when you think about it, because in these emails, which appear to be between these clinicians who analyze these players, if they're doing it wrong, imagine how many other Black former players might be out there who might have had claims, but the norms were applied because these doctors felt they had to be applied, because they felt it was required of them. And as a result, these claims were denied.
Ryan, I just want to stop you for a second because it is very rare that we have what appears to be reservations around explicitly systemic racism in sports among doctors like this.
I was stunned. I've never seen anything like this in anything I've ever reported. How long have there been, at least, even if there's one doctor who doesn't know if this is required versus recommended, how long has that been going on? I was completely stunned.
And there's another bit of reporting here, Ryan, that caught my eye. And it's these test scores that were viewed by ABC from Black players that were not normed for race. Tell me about those and what those show.
So, Pablo, it's important to note here, the NFL has been denying requests to release demographic data on the program payouts. So our colleagues at ABC News, they took an exclusive look at some data analysis. There was an NFL-affiliated clinician who analyzed the cognitive tests of a group of 94 former players who are Black. So this is, he's taking essentially a sample size of Black players to see how this plays out. When the clinician interpreted the test scores as if those players were white, 34 of them qualified for compensation. But if he looked at those players and applied the NFL's recommended demographic adjustment, only 10 qualified. So look at that difference. 94 players he looked at, if you interpret them as if they're white, 34 get compensation. If you apply the demographic adjustment, accounting for race as a Black person, 10 qualify. Mm. The ramifications of that are enormous.
So I want to dive here, Ryan, further into race norming as this recommendation versus as this requirement, because that seems to be an incredibly contentious part of this whole story. So for the doctors who evaluate these former players for their claims, is this a recommendation or a requirement?
That's probably at the heart of this entire situation. The doctors, in what appears to be this email listserv of them going back and forth talking about this, they seem to feel that it is required. A doctor that we interviewed for this story, Dr. Charles Golden, seems to feel that it is required. But the NFL has been very clear that these are suggested norms, that it is not required.
So for the NFL side of things, when Davenport and Henry filed their lawsuit, which they are notified about in August of 2020, how does the league respond?
So in August of 2020, NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy gave this statement. He said, the settlement agreement does not require the use of any particular adjustment and instead leaves their use to the sound discretion of independent clinicians administering the tests. He also added that such adjustments are meant to ensure that players are treated fairly. So the idea there is, again, not required. It's a suggestion. Now, our colleagues at ABC News reached out as well for the reporting we're doing now. And an NFL spokesman issued a statement saying that the concussion settlement, and this is key, that it was agreed to by all the parties with the assistance of expert neuropsychological clinicians, approved by the courts as well, more than 5 years ago. And we agreed with the players' counsel, with the courts, with the expert advice of neuropsychologists on these kinds of things that the players are complaining about in this lawsuit. So this was all done through an agreement, and none of it is meant to discriminate against players.
But that agreement that you just mentioned and the fact that the counsel for the players had consented to the terms as the NFL describes them, I want to know more about the class counsel for the players who agreed to that settlement. What do we know about him and what his opinion on this stuff is?
Yeah, his name is Christopher Seeger. He was the class counsel for the former NFL players, and he negotiated this settlement with the league. So attorney Seeger issued a statement through a spokesperson that called on the courts to issue a clarification on the issue. And here's what he says. To the extent that there's any perceived confusion, we would support a clarification from the court to make it clearer that the use of demographic adjustments, including for race, is not required, and that the neuropsychologist examining a player should use their professional judgment to select the appropriate demographic adjustments and apply it to the player's test results.
So I want to clarify something else about this then, Ryan. Why was Keevan denied, and why did Najee get appealed?
That is the million-dollar question. In a sense, they were denied because the norms were applied. In Davenport's case, he got the compensation, but the NFL said the norms aren't applied. That's why we're appealing. And they ultimately won their case. So it stands to reason from the player's perspective, hey, if these things aren't required, if everybody is saying that, if both sides are saying this never should have been a requirement, it always should have been suggestion, then why is it happening? Why is it happening? And that's what's so frustrating for these players.
Up next, the U.S. government enters the conversation around the settlement and where the claims go from here.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So, Ryan, I want to zoom out here for a second because the last year, going back to 2020 now, we have seen the NFL make very public statements in support of Black Lives Matter.
We, the National Football League, believe Black Lives Matter.
In promotion of racial justice, they put end racism literally onto the end zone by stencil.
The NFL announced the phrases, "It takes all of us," and "end racism" will be painted in the end zones all through the season.
And we heard Roger Goodell himself lend his voice to this idea.
We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of Black people.
So how do Kevin Henry and Najee Davenport weigh all of that in relation to what they've personally experienced with these settlement claims?
Yeah, this is what was truly heartbreaking when I spoke to them. What really rings out in my head, Pablo, is Kevin Henry. When I asked him a similar question, how do you process that? He basically said, they lie.
When you hear the NFL say, we stand against social injustice, we stand against racism, the Black Lives Matter, what do you think?
Liars. They're liars, man.
How can they support that, and yet this is happening to us? And Kevin made the point as well. It sounds great.
It sounds great, don't it? We stand with you. Boy, that sounds good.
Najee Davenport reflected the same thing. This is not what I'm experiencing. And I'm paraphrasing him here. This is, for him, it felt like a betrayal.
I want him to pay. I feel that you disrespected the Shield, something you put so much value on. I feel you should pay.
And look, the NFL has made the point that we are not trying to discriminate. But for these players, in talking to them, their idea is, okay, if you're not about that, if you are about what you say you're about, if you don't feel that you want to discriminate against players, if you don't want to treat white players differently from Black players, then look at what's happening here. Why are you fighting this lawsuit? Change it so that it doesn't happen anymore.
So this story and the scale of it, Ryan, does the government get involved at some point? Do politicians care about this?
They do. In fact, Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon is somebody who's been very active on this front. He sent the NFL a letter in September after this lawsuit was initially reported by the New York Times asking for more information. And then once ABC and we started looking into this and ABC put out their story, they reached out to Wyden to ask him about it. And here's what he said. If ABC's reporting is true, the NFL has apparently pressured doctors to disqualify Black former NFL players from benefits they earn. And he added, shortchanging former players based on their race is both racist and rank hypocrisy in light of the league's promises to push for racial justice. The NFL needs to stop trying to run out the clock and finally start treating Black ex-players fairly. And then recently, Pablo, he put out another quote because he reached out to the league and tried to get information. He said, I've been pressing the NFL to explain if its race-based formula was supported by real science and how many players lost benefits because of it. The NFL refuses to answer my questions. And Senator Wyden, pressing for information, saying he's not getting a response, is adding fuel to his fire to say, something's got to be done about this and I need answers.
So, Ryan, the clock is still ticking, I suppose. Najee Davenport and Kevin Henry, they still have not received financial compensation from the NFL, and their lawsuit is still ongoing. What happens next?
Judge Anita Brody, who's in charge of all of this, she's also in charge of the concussion settlement, said back in November that they're not going to rule on the lawsuit until Davenport and Henry have exhausted all of their options within the current system. So what does that mean? That means appealing in Kevin Henry's case, which he didn't do. And it also means in Najee Davenport's case, getting Dr. Golden to answer certain questions again, including questions about whether and why he didn't apply the race norming. So essentially, it's almost as if the judge is saying, hey, guys, work it out in the system before we take it up.
So, Ryan, as we wrap up here, I'm just curious what the response has been to your reporting on this story.
I would say it's been in part remarkable and heartbreaking. Pablo, I've had former players reach out to me, and one guy in particular I remember said he's in his 60s and he's been trying for years to get money from the government, and can I help? We talked to the counsel for these players, and he's getting players reaching out to him. On the level of people in the public who follow football, who watch football, so many people reached out to me and said, if this is true, how can this be allowed to stand? It just doesn't make sense, because at least one person wrote to me and said, the league is saying they don't believe in these kinds of things. I have to believe they can't mean this on purpose. And that's where I think a lot of this story lies. I think the players think that this has been purposeful. I think when you hear the league's statement, they don't feel like there was a requirement to impose this race norming. But it's clear, based on their accusations, it's clear from what they're saying, we are being judged differently because of the color of our skin. And that has really torn people apart.
Ryan Smith, thank you so much for shining a light on this story.
Sure thing, Pablo. Thanks for doing this.
One more note here. In a statement provided to ESPN's Outside the Lines, NFL spokesperson Brian McCarthy said, quote, if the court wants to make adjustments to the program, then the league would be willing to discuss changes, end quote. I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.